Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrityam. Narayanam chaiva narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam, Tato Jayamudhirayet, Nashta Prayesha Bhadreshu, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Bhagavate Uttama Shlokir, Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtikir, Mukam Karoti Vachalam, Pangolangayate Girim, Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande, Shri Guru Dinatarinam. Right, Hare Krishna. This is reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 4, The Atrocities of King Kamsa. Text 37.
Tatapi deva sapnyan.
Tatapi deva sapatnyan.
Nopeksha iti man mahi.
Nopeksha iti man mahi.
Tatastan mulakanane.
Tatastan mulakanane
nayun shvasman anuvratan niyun shvasman anuvratan.
Okay, please repeat. Tata api, still,
devaha,
the demigods,
sapatnyat,
due to enmity,
na upeksha,
should not be neglected,
iti manmahe,
this is our opinion,
tatha,
therefore,
tatmula kanane,
to uproot them completely,
niyungshva,
engage,
asman,
us,
anuvratan,
who are ready to follow you. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Nonetheless, because of their enmity, our opinion is that the demigods should not be neglected. Therefore, to uproot them completely, engage us in fighting with them, for we are ready to follow you. Purport. According to moral instructions, one should not neglect to extinguish fire completely, treat disease completely, and clear debts completely. Otherwise, they will increase and later be difficult to stop. Therefore, the ministers advised Kamsa to uproot his enemies completely.
Om Ajnanate Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Firstly, I'd like to offer my obeisances to all the Vaishnavas here, as senior devotees like Pancha Gaura Prabhu and many other devotees who could probably present Bhagavatam much better than me. But somehow I am here, so please bless me that I can say something to make the deities and devotees happy. There's not much of a purport. It's quite small. Prabhupada is just talking about how you treat these three things very quickly: a fire, a debt, or disease. It's a common saying, I think, in India. They say that these three things you should deal with very fast because they increase if you don't pay attention to them. So that's about it. That's all that he says. There's not much more. And what's happening here is the ministers of Kamsa are giving Kamsa not very good advice. They're telling him to fight. They're telling him to, you know, they're kind of agitating him. Actually, you'll find in Vedic tradition, the leaders always have a council, a Brahmin council. So these Brahmanas are his council, but they're not devotees. And because they're not devotees, they're going to vanquish him eventually. Yeah, there's not much more here, but I'll try and pull a few strings with whatever is there. And I just wanted to speak about this extinguishing of the fire, because Prabhupada is always talking about this forest fire of material existence and how it's blazing and it's very strong. And to stop this fire is actually of utmost importance. If you leave a fire unattended, it grows out of control. Even a small spark can start a big forest fire. So actually, out of these three things, you know, a debt, you can kind of ignore a debt, because anyway, you can just keep pushing it away. And disease, maybe you can't ignore, but you could push that also. You know, people have diseases and they gradually kind of increase to the point that it's a bit of a difficulty. But a fire, when there's a fire, then you have to immediately shut it down, because it can completely destroy everything. Just like and you can feel the heat of the fire, so you immediately do something. Just like in Krishna book, when Krishna kills Kaliya, after killing of Kaliya, the residents of Vrindavan, because they're too tired, after subduing of Kaliya, the residents are very tired, and they just take rest on the banks of Yamuna itself. Prabhupada says like this. And then suddenly a forest fire emerges and they start feeling the heat. And as they feel this heat, they immediately take shelter of Krishna. And Krishna, as we all know, sucks up the fire in a wonderful fashion. One thing that came to my mind about fires is this nice book. It's called Upakhyane Upadesh. It's stories by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And there's one very specific nice story. It's titled BBMM. And because us Kali Yuga creatures, we have this tendency of being very dull-headed. Being so dull-headed that even though you're blazing, Hare Krishna, even though you're blazing in this forest fire, you're burning practically day in and day out, you're kind of ignorant and you don't really even realize how much you're suffering. So there's this very nice story. I'll read it to you. BBMA. All right. Two very lazy men lived jointly in a room. By chance, on one winter's night, the room somehow caught fire. As the fire was spreading, one of the lazy persons felt the heat on his back, but didn't care to get up. When the heat of the fire grew unbearable, the first lazy man didn't even take the trouble to alert his roommate. He just uttered two letters, BB, by which he meant burning back. The second lazy man was also similarly reluctant to respond with a fully expressed sentence, and he only murmured MA out of sheer laziness, meaning to advise his friend to move aside. All this time, the fire was getting bigger and bigger. The lazy men, in their dreamful slumber, thought that the night was over and the sun was up, and that they were feeling the warmth of the sunshine. With this dreamy conjecture, The first lazy man asked the second one without getting up from his bed, "Oh brother, could you please check how hot the sun is?" The second lazy man thought, "Who wants to take so much trouble?" So he replied, "How can I open my eyes?" So he was too lazy to lift his eyelids. As they were lazily passing the time in this way, both of them were roasted to death in the raging fire. Yeah, so there's a purport that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada gives, and it's a nice purport. Those who pretend to be residents of the ashram for the sake of practicing service to Lord Sri Hari, but who become lazy in offering daily service to the Lord, the spiritual master, and the Vaishnavas, are also susceptible to be caught within the clutches of illusion, and ultimately to meet with a similar end. The lifestyle of one who has devoted himself to the service of the Lord should never be at any time lazy. There's 32 Sanchari Bhavs. They're different emotions that are used in general dealings. Actually, in the spiritual world, there's 32 of them. But out of the 32, there's two. One is called Alasya, and the other one, I forget the Sanskrit term, but the other one means ferocity. So ferocity and laziness, Alasya and I think Auguria, something like this. These two don't exist in the spiritual world. They don't have any place. Laziness has no place in the spiritual world, because laziness is super tamogun, and when you go into super tamogun, you become ignorant, and ignorant means you have no idea what's going on. You have no clue. You have no cognitive ability to understand what's going on around you. There can be a huge blazing forest fire. You can be burning in it, but you know. Even though you feel the heat of the fire on your back, all you can muster up to say is BB, back burning. Actually, this is very applicable for all of us in the material world, because we are in a blazing forest fire of material existence. If you read the fifth canto, 14th chapter, I think 14th or 13th chapter, it describes how this material world is. It's not a very nice place, and why we have to not be lazy. Prabhupada says this Mahadavagni, this is the forest fire of material existence. And to get rid of this forest fire of material existence, Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, we're chanting every morning, you have to clean your heart, Cheto Darpanam Arjanam. And cleaning of the heart is going to take a lot of effort, because it's very dirty. And if you're lazy, you can kind of push it aside and not worry about your dirty heart. But if you do that, it's such an abominable condition, because you don't even know that you're burning in this fire. So Prabhupada says, quoting this Shikshashtakam, he says that first Cheto Darpana Marjanam, first get up and clean your heart, first engage in devotional service, you know, engage in this chanting day in and day out, and clean Cheto Darpana Marjanam. And as you clean, you will see the bhava, the material existence, the fire, bhava maha davagni nirvapanam. It will finish. Every morning also, if you go to Prabhupada Samadhi to attend Mangalarti, if you're a very good devotee, unlike me, then you chant every morning, samsara dava nala lida loka. And Prabhupada says, dava nala. This is the fire of material existence. And this fire of material existence, it is destroyed. It is destroyed by this rain cloud. Samsara dava nalalida loka tranarya karunya ghana ghanatvam. And also it is explained that this verse, Cheto darpanam arjanam bhava maha dava agni nirvapanam, shreya kairava chandrika. This Prabhupada says that this Shreya Kairava Chandrika is auspiciousness, and Shreya Kairava Chandrika literally translates to the moonbeams of good fortune, or you can understand it to be guru, because Adi Guru is Nitai, right? And Nitai is always compared to having the shade of his lotus feet to be like 10 million moons or unlimited moons. 10 million is just so you can picture something in your head, you know, and so this guru comes into your life, You know, and like a rain cloud, he finishes this forest fire, and then the way he finishes your forest fire is Vidya Vadu Jivanam, by giving you transcendental spiritual knowledge. And when he gives you this transcendental spiritual knowledge, you use this torch of knowledge and you burn away the ignorance. And by burning away the ignorance, then you're coming out of this whole ignorance that we're in, this material existence that we're in. But, you know, if you do this, it's very nice, but that's not the be-all and end-all of Krishna consciousness. This is actually the beginning. The beginning of Krishna consciousness is Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, na shochati na kangshati. Right? No hankering, no lamentation, no happiness, no distress. And when you experience this platform of Brahma Bhuta, where there's no more material suffering, then it's not nirvisheshvad. It's not that everything's good now. We've achieved perfection because now we're not suffering in the material world anymore. No. Then you have to engage in real Krishna consciousness. You know, I wanted to read a chapter from Krishna book. It's a very nice chapter, chapter 29. And I wanted to just try and tie in something from there into this purport. Okay, this is chapter 29 of Krishna book. And also, before I say this, there is a statement by Prabhupada in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where he says, negation of the non-essential does not imply negation of the essential. So simply by removing this forest fire of material existence, you haven't achieved all perfection. There is something that you have to fill the void after you get rid of your, you know, you empty the cup and fill it with Krishna consciousness. So I'm just going to read a few paragraphs and hopefully you can pay attention and follow. All right. On the Mahamaya platform, dances take place on the basis of sense gratification. Jai Shishi Krishna Balaram, Shishi Gornitai, Shishi Radhisham Ki. On the Mahamaya platform, dances take place on the basis of sense gratification. But when Krishna called the gopis by sounding his flute, they very hurriedly rushed towards the spot of the rasa dance with the transcendental desire to satisfy Krishna. The author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, has explained that lust means sense gratification. So this forest fire of material existence that we're in, it is actually referring to the desire for sense gratification, lust. And love also means sense gratification, but for Krishna. In other words, when activities are enacted on the platform of personal sense gratification, they are called material activities. But when they are enacted for the satisfaction of Krishna, they are spiritual activities. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave a lecture in Radhakund on 1934. It's a very, very prominent lecture. Actually, he gave a series of lectures for many months in Radhakund, but he was just speaking about the first verse of Upadeshamrita, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on this. But after a few months of speaking quite base philosophy, all the unqualified people started dissipating. They started leaving because they were thinking, oh, he's not speaking rasa tattva, he's not speaking about gopis, he's not speaking higher things, so he's not really a sadhu, you know. And then they left him because they were not qualified to hear from such a person. But after a few days, he gave a class in 1934 in October during the Kartik Vrajmandal Parikram. He used to do his own personal Vrajmandal Parikram. And in those lectures, he made some very, very profound statements, which I'm going to read. All these days, we have not spoken about Leela. Why? Because this is our most confidential asset. This is our only sadhya, only goal. But one should not make the mistake of thinking that anartha nivritti is the prayojan. removing this forest fire of material existence, this is the very beginning, Klesh Agni. You know, there's six characteristics of bhakti. The first one is Klesh Agni, to remove this fire, is to remove this klesha, suffering. But this is the very beginning. It's not the goal. If you get stuck just on being happy in the material world, you haven't made it very far. One should not make the mistake of thinking that anartha nivritti is the prayojan. One thinking like this will never enter into artha pravirti. So the cup is full of ink and we want to empty the cup. But as hard as you try to empty the cup, ink is such inky substance that it doesn't go away. It just gets stuck to everything. If you have experience of pens exploding, you know, it ruins everything. But if you pour milk, we've all heard this example many, many times. If you pour milk into the cup, then it drives out all the ink. And you know, if you think about this, you have to pour a lot of milk if you want to drive out all the ink. And this is the only method of driving out the ink. One thinking like this will never enter into artha pravritti. If you do not know all this, then all of your endeavors may end in nirvisheshavad. If you don't understand artha pravritti, if you don't understand what the purpose of Krishna consciousness is, why we're purifying, why we're stopping this fire, why we even exist, then your end might just be merging into Brahman. For this reason, I will begin speaking about Ashtakalya Lila Smaran. And he went on to describe those things, which I will not do because I'm definitely not qualified to. Those who have chanted for 15 to 20 years must know such things. The beginners need not hear these topics, but those who have chanted for so many years must hear these things. Must. On any platform of activities, the principle of sense gratification is there. It's actually quite simple to understand. We're all interested in sense gratification because that's the jiva swarup. The jiva's nature is to be interested in sense gratification. Why are we always just thinking of sense gratification? Because that's our innate nature. The only problem is it's been perverted and that the direction is going towards you instead of going to the actual Rishikesh. You know, the real controller of the senses. And you know, Prabhupada always talks about you don't have to change anything, even to newcomers when they come. He just tells them, you don't have to add new things, you just have to put Krishna. Put Krishna in the center, do all of your activities. You know, people like to eat very nice things. So Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion that if you want to please Krishna, actually this is one of the limbs of devotion. You please Krishna by offering Him things that are favorite to you. Things that you like, you know, if you have some specific food that you really like, an anga of devotional service is to offer that thing to Krishna. You know, when they have the altar open on festival days, you see all these plates of prasadam, right? They don't take it away. I mean, on a normal day, they don't have all these plates of prasadam because if they keep it there, people might just look at the prasad, you know, and desire to eat it. But on the festival days, they have all this prasad, all these varieties of foodstuffs. So that the devotees can see and the devotees can enjoy the fact that Krishna enjoyed all of these offerings. You know, it's the same sense gratification. On one hand, you have the person thinking, oh, this is all for me. You know, I eat this and I enjoy all of these things. And on the other hand, it's so much more beautiful because you think of Krishna's tasting of these things. And not just that, you also think of the devotee that cooked it and the bhav that went into the devotee and how he cooked it. So it's so much more dynamic. But from an external point of view, you might see two people standing in front of the altar looking at the same plate of Mahaprasad, but one person might be wanting to enjoy it and the other person is thinking, oh, how Krishna enjoyed it, but externally it looks exactly the same. You know? So the idea is if you simply remove the consciousness of that guy trying to enjoy it, it won't work. Because the swarup of the jiva is sense gratification. You know, his very nature is to give satisfaction to senses. You only get Brahmavad, you know, nirvisheshavad. Anyway, I'll just go on reading. But on any platform of activities, the principle of sense gratification is there. But on the spiritual platform, sense gratification is for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Whereas on the material platform, it is for the performer. For example, on the material platform, when a servant serves a master, he's trying to satisfy not the senses of his master, but rather his own senses. The servant would not serve the master if the payment stopped. That means that the servant engages himself in the service of the master just to satisfy his own senses. On the spiritual platform, however, the servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead serves Krishna without payment, and he continues his service in all conditions. That is the difference between Krishna consciousness and material consciousness. I'm going to read another paragraph. This material world is the perverted reflection of the spiritual world. It is just like the reflection of a tree on the bank of a reservoir of water. The topmost part of the tree is seen as the lowest part. Similarly, parikya ras, when pervertedly reflected in this material world, is most abominable. Therefore, when people imitate the rasa dance of Krishna with the gopis, they simply enjoy the perverted, abominable reflection of the transcendental parikya ras. There is no possibility of enjoying this transcendental parikya ras within the material world. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that one should not imitate the parikya ras even in dream or imagination. Those who do so drink the most deadly poison. Another point that comes to my mind is that Lord Chaitanya has come to give the highest thing. And the highest thing is Vrindavan and serving Krishna. You know, Brajendra Nandan Krishna in Vrindavan. And out of all of those, you know, Prabhupada says here that there are many relationships with Krishna. Master and servant, friend and friend, parent and son, lover and beloved. Out of all of these rasas, the parakya ras is considered to be the topmost. So Lord Chaitanya has come to give this highest thing to the lowest. But in one sense, you can kind of understand that because it's a reflection, it's actually the same thing but perverted, you know? So it's not so hard to just flip it upside down, just put Krishna in the center. The appearance of the moon. Another thing before I read this is there's a nice purport in the fourth canto where Prabhupada talks about this blazing fire of material existence, and he says how if one is suffering in this blazing fire of material existence, one can simply sit, this is what he says, one can simply sit in the nectarian river of Krishna Katha and feel peace. So there's a blazing fire going on everywhere, and you find a river and you sit down in this river, and the fire can go on, but you're peaceful because you're in this river. This is how we have to kind of traverse this material world, because there's always fire, like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told our Prabhupada. What did he tell him in Radhakund? There will be a fire in Gaudiya Math. That's what he said, right? There will be a fire. He said that now I have this Bagh Bazar mansion, this building made of marbles in Bagh Bazar, and I feel it's a mistake because now everyone's fighting over the rooms. Everyone's thinking, oh, I want this big room and I want this marble room. And then he gave him the famous instruction, better to take out all the marbles, sell them, and if you get money, then print books. And Prabhupada says in one morning walk, he says, he recounts this incident, and he says, therefore I was not so much interested in making temples. This he's talking about when he was in Delhi, like when he first started the movement practically, and he just had one parchment of paper. You know, back then they didn't even have nice printing presses, and the paper that you got was like, you know, it would tear very easily, and all he had was this one parchment of paper, which was the BTG magazine. And he said, therefore, I was not interested in building temples because my Guru Maharaj told me like this. I simply distributed this pamphlet and everything came from this pamphlet, you know? Because many people and many things that are working, organization, then there's always going to be clashes and problems and all kinds of things that you have to traverse. But just like Prabhupada was explaining in the fourth canto, that if you simply sit in the nectarian river of Krishna Katha, then the fire will not disturb you. So I'm going to read a nice description of Krishna Katha. hopefully you can sit in the Nectarine River and not feel burnt in the fire. The appearance of the moon increased Krishna's desire to dance with the gopis. The forest was filled with fragrant flowers. The atmosphere was cooling and festive. When Lord Krishna began to blow his flute, the gopis all over Vrindavan became enchanted. Their attraction to the vibration of the flute increased 1,000 times due to the rising full moon, the red horizon, the calm and cool atmosphere, and the blossoming flower. All the gopis were by nature very much attracted to Krishna's beauty. When they heard the vibration of his flute, they became apparently lustful to satisfy the senses of Krishna. So these six vices, lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion, they're very bad, right? They're not good. They can't be used in devotional service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says they've got me around my neck with ropes, you know, and they're pulling me this way and that way, these vices. Raghunath Das Goswami in Manashiksha, he says they're like highway robbers. I'm going on a pathway, and these six men, lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion, they've come and just ripped me of all of my assets. And he's speaking about bhakti, how these things can ruin bhakti. But here it says that they became apparently lustful to satisfy the senses of Krishna. Because in reality, everything comes from Krishna. There's a purport in the fourth canto where Prabhupada says that devotees see oneness, and devotees always see Krishna present in everything, even in the happiness or in the distress. But the only difference between the Mayavadis and our statement when we say this is we see Krishna in variety. We see him coming in many, many different energies. We don't see everything as just one. But here it says that they became apparently lustful to satisfy the senses of Krishna. You might think, how is this connected to the purport? It's going to get there. It's just going to take some time, and I'll get there. And you, hopefully it clicks and everything makes sense. But here, these things can be used in Krishna consciousness. Greed can be used for being greedy to do more devotional service. Anger is used in Krishna consciousness when a devotee is in harm, or if someone comes and attacks our deities, then immediately we should get angry. And you know, there was one Mataji in Mayapur. She was in the temple, and that time dacoits were coming with swords. They were coming with swords and bombs, like grenades, throwing it into the temple room. There were like explosions in the temple. Imagine, like, you're sitting hearing Bhagavatam class and someone throws a grenade into the temple room. That was the kind of situation they were in. And the dacoits, they thought that the deity of Radharani was gold, was pure gold. So they went to grab the deity. And when they did this, there was one Mataji who put both of her arms in front of the deities, and they had a sword. They slashed her arms off, right in front of the deities. And Prabhupada said that just for that one activity, she's going back home, back to Godhead, even if she doesn't want to go back home, back to Godhead. Just by doing this one act of protecting the deities. So we should feel angry, and sometimes you have to fight. You know, all these so-called negative things, these vices, can be used in Krishna consciousness. The only one out of these six that can't be used is envy, because there's no room for envy in the spiritual world. There's no enviousness. Everyone's just pushing each other. Prabhupada says that they may get jealous, and I think I could be wrong, but I think how he explained it was that enviousness is that you want to take away something from someone because they have that thing. You want to take it away and push them down. And jealousy is that you see someone having something, and then you desire to have that thing also to make Krishna happy. Like, just as this person is making Krishna happy, I also want to make Krishna happy. So there's room for that kind of mood. Anyway, immediately upon hearing the vibration of the flute, they all left their respective engagements and proceeded to the spot where Krishna was standing. While they ran very swiftly, their earrings swung back and forth. They all rushed towards the place known as Vamsi Vata. Some of them were engaged in milking cows, but they left their milking business half finished and immediately went to Krishna. One of them had just collected milk and put it in a milk pan on the stove to boil, but she did not care whether the milk overboiled or spilled. She immediately left to go see Krishna. Some of them were breastfeeding their small babies, and some were engaged in distributing food to the members of their families. But they all left such engagements and immediately rushed towards the spot where Krishna was playing his flute. Try and understand this. Some of them were breastfeeding their babies, and as soon as they heard Krishna's flute, even the Prabhupada says that the closest thing to love of Godhead in the material world is the mother's love for the baby. But it's the closest thing. It's still very far away. It just happens to be the closest thing, you know. And here you can see, because the gopis, they're having children that they're breastfeeding, and they drop the child and immediately run to Krishna. Some of them were engaged in serving their husbands, and some were themselves engaged in eating, but caring neither to serve their husbands nor eat. They immediately left. Some of them wanted to decorate their faces with cosmetic ointments and to dress themselves very nicely before going to Krishna. But unfortunately, they could not finish their cosmetic decorations or put on their clothes in the right way because of their anxiety to meet Krishna immediately. Their faces were decorated hurriedly and were haphazardly finished. Some even put the lower part of their cloth on the upper part of their bodies and the upper part of the cloth on the lower part. While all the gopis were hurriedly leaving their respective places, their husbands, brothers and fathers were all struck with wonder to know where they were going. Being young girls, they were either protected by husbands, elder brothers or fathers. All their guardians forbade them to go to Krishna, but they disregarded them. When a person becomes attracted to Krishna and is in full Krishna consciousness, he does not care for any worldly duties, even though very urgent. Why I read this is because in this purport, Prabhupada says that you have to finish a fire, you have to finish your debts. And when you hear debts, you might think, oh, I owe this person 20 rupees, I owe this person a samosa. But what debt really means also is this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto. I don't remember the verse. Devarshi Pitrinam. You know, anyone knows this verse? Anyway, this is a nice verse. And it says how we have debts. You know, we're obliged to the demigods for giving us rains and sunlight and wind and all kinds of things, you know. We're obliged to the rishis because they're giving us so much knowledge, and with this knowledge, you know, we're living. And we're obliged to the pitris, you know, the forefathers, because they gave us these bodies, and you know, we're indebted to them. But all of these debts, we're also, there's two others: humanity at large and nature. So these are the debts that we have. But all of these debts are immediately vanquished when you hear Krishna's flute and run to Krishna, because he is the origin of everything. He is the source of everything. He's the root of everything. So you feed the root and everyone's satisfied, you know. So actually, this is also our mood of taking sannyas. In Gaudiya Vaishnavism, when one is given sannyas, he's given a mantra which is literally called the Gopi Bhav mantra. That's what it's called. You know, and when you get sannyas, if you get sannyas, you'll know what the mantra is. But they're given this mantra because in the mood we take sannyas is very much in the mood of these gopis. It is very much like how they're doing their duties, you know, and they immediately just drop the whole thing and run to Krishna. Practically, this is what Srila Prabhupada did also. You know, he asked his wife, "You want me or you want tea?" And that's when he became, you know, it's as good as dropping your baby and running to Krishna. Immediately he went to his spiritual master's representative, Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj, and he took sannyas. He took sannyas from him. He left it all. This is very much in our mood. So this is how you immediately, because we've lived here since time immemorial. How many lifetimes have you lived here? How many debts do we have to how many unlimited people? They say if you have a debt in this life, then you can't go back home, back to Godhead, unless you pay that person 5 rupees and you give him that samosa. Otherwise you have to take birth just to repay that person. Right? So how many lifetimes have we lived and how many debts do we have? So the only real way of finishing all these debts is completely surrendering onto Guru and Krishna. You know, completely giving your life entirely, running to Krishna's flute. And in Kali Yuga, Krishna's flute is our wonderful book distribution. We're going all over the place. You know, we had a bus that just went a few days ago. Prabhuji also went. And they were distributing these books. And this distribution of books is transcendental sound vibration, right? You know, packed into this is sound vibration. It's none different to Krishna's flute. And they hear this, and when they hear this, what should they do? They should come running to Vrindavan. Our bus, I think it says ISKCON Vrindavan on the side. So, you know, they see this bus, and they get these books, and they run to the temple, and what do they do in the temple? They chant the wonderful Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And this is none different to the gopis dropping their babies and going to Krishna, you know, in the middle of the night. Anyway, I want to read a little bit more because Prabhupada speaks directly to us, you know, and it's really nice. It's super wonderful. When a person becomes attracted by Krishna and is in full Krishna consciousness, he does not care for any worldly duties, even though very urgent. Krishna consciousness is so powerful that it gives everyone relief from all material activities. Srila Rupa Goswami has written a very nice verse wherein one gopi advises another, "My dear friend, if you desire to enjoy the company of material society, friendship and love, then please do not go to see that smiling boy Govinda who is standing on the bank of the Yamuna and playing his flute, his lips brightened by the beams of the full moonlight." Wow. Srila Rupa Goswami indirectly instructs that one who has been captivated by the beautiful smiling face of Krishna has lost all attraction for material enjoyments. This is the test of advancement in Krishna consciousness. A person advancing in Krishna consciousness must lose interest in material activities and personal sense gratification. Now is where Prabhupada speaks to us, okay? Try and catch what he's saying. Some of the gopis were factually detained from going to Krishna by their husbands and were locked up by force within their rooms. Being unable to go to Krishna, they began to meditate upon his transcendental form by closing their eyes. They already had the form of Krishna within their minds. They proved to be the greatest yogis. As it is stated in Bhagavad Gita, a person who is constantly thinking of Krishna within his heart, with faith and love, is considered to be the topmost of all yogis. Actually, a yogi concentrates his mind on the form of Lord Vishnu. That is real yoga. Krishna is the original form of all Vishnu tattvas. The gopis who could not go to Krishna personally began to meditate on him as perfect yogis. And now he speaks about conditioned souls. Immediately after speaking this paragraph, the next paragraph is, in the conditioned stage of the living entities, there are two kinds of results of fruit of activities. The conditioned living entity who is constantly engaged in sinful activities has suffering as his result, and he who is engaged in pious activities has material enjoyment as a result. In either case, material suffering or material enjoyment, the sufferer or enjoyer is conditioned by material nature. Just stay with me, try and pay attention, because this next section is really, really nice, if you can see what Prabhupada is saying. The gopi associates of Krishna who assembled in the place where Krishna was appearing were from different groups. Most of the gopis were eternal companions of Krishna. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhi, in the spiritual world, the associates of Krishna, especially the gopis, are manifestations of the pleasure potency of the Lord. So the gopis are manifestations of the pleasure potency of the Lord. They are expansions of Srimati Radharani. But when Krishna exhibits his transcendental pastimes within the material world, in some of the universes, not only the eternal associates of Krishna come, but also those who are being promoted to the status from this material world. Now listen to this sentence. So some of the gopis who joined Krishna's pastimes within this material world were coming from the status of ordinary human beings. I don't know about all of you. Maybe you're demigods, because I am in Vrindavan Dham, but I'm definitely an ordinary human being. And when I read this, and when I hear this, then it gives me a lot of hope. Because being ordinary human beings, you may think, where's my chance? You know, when am I going to go where I have to go? But here Prabhupada is saying, some of the gopis who joined Krishna's pastimes within this material world were coming from the status of ordinary human beings. If they had been bound by fruit of action, they were fully freed from the reactions of karma by constant meditation on Krishna. Prabhupada is speaking about Purvarag over here. I don't know if you know what Purvarag is. It is called, there is Vipralamba. feelings of separation with Krishna. There's four types actually. There's Purvarag, there's Man, there's Prema Vaichitya, and there's Pravas. And out of these four, Prema Vaichitya, Man, and Pravas are experienced only in spiritual bodies. They're not experienced in material bodies. But Purvarag is experienced in material bodies. And Prabhupada here is talking about Purvarag. He's talking about ordinary humans, us ordinary humans. And he's talking about Purvarag. And what is Purvarag? Constant meditation on Krishna. Purvarag is when you haven't seen Krishna. You've simply heard about him. You've heard about him, you've met people that have met him, but you haven't met him. And when you hear about him, then your desire to meet him must increase. And it's connected to this purport. Why it's connected to this purport? Because Prabhupada is talking about removing fire immediately. This Purvarag is compared to a fire of purification. And by their constant meditation on Krishna, their severely painful yearnings caused by their not being able to see Krishna freed them from all sinful reactions. And their ecstasy of transcendental love for Krishna in his absence ended all their reactions to material pious activities. So when you feel feelings of separation, your material life, the sinful material life, is finished. And when you feel feelings of joy in Krishna consciousness, when we chant in ecstasy, then your pious material life is finished. This is what we should do in Krishna consciousness. You should be extremely sad that you're not with Krishna, and you should be extremely happy because you are with Krishna. But at the same time, you're not with Krishna. You know, at least we're with devotees, we're with the deities, and we're here and we're chanting Hare Krishna. And constant meditation of Krishna, one might think, means smaran. You know, you sit down and the gopis are just sitting and meditating because they can't be with Krishna. But no, that's not what Jiva Goswami says. Especially for Kali Yuga, that's not what Jiva Goswami says. I'll tell you what Jiva Goswami says. He says, for smaran, a pure heart is required. Therefore, it is not as effective as kirtan. Kirtan is of many kinds. Obviously, there's Leela Kirtan, there's Guna Kirtan, there's Rupa Kirtan, but there's one that reigns supreme over all other Kirtans, and that is called Harinam Sankirtan. And this is real constant meditation. We have a constant meditation happening right now in the Tulsi Mandap. They're constantly chanting Hare Krishna. They're real gopis chanting Hare Krishna. By this constant meditation, they will feel separation, or at least they should feel separation. If they're not feeling separation, then their meditation is not very proper. Because chanting of this Harinam, this is Vipralambanam, this name, when you chant, you should feel separation. This is Krishna's name. This is Radharani's name. Their personality is imbued into this. Nam Nam Akari Bahudan Nijasarva Shaktis. All the Shaktis, whatever Shakti that exists in this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. These 16 words. So if you chant this properly, with proper sambandha tattva, then your feelings of separation should increase. Even you exist in this Harinam. Your relationship with Krishna also exists in this Harinam. So you take perfect shelter by chanting constantly. Prabhupada says in so many places, he says 24 hours of chanting this Maha Mantra is the only solution. You know, Kali Yuga Dharma is chanting Hare Krishna. We don't neglect the other forms of kirtan. Right now we're doing a guna kirtan, lila kirtan also. We're hearing the pastimes of Krishna. Guna kirtan, lila, rupa kirtan. Look at this wonderful form. Gaur Nitai, Krishna Balaram. We're coming every day, we're greeting them. This form of kirtan is very important because we're very conditioned. And if we take exclusive shelter of nam, I mean, obviously if you take exclusive shelter of nam, you'll achieve all perfection. But you have to take exclusive shelter of nam to do that. And until then, all of these other forms of kirtan will support our main Nam Sankirtan. I'll just finish this paragraph and I'll be done. The conditioned soul is subject to birth and death, either by pious or sinful activities. But the gopis who began to meditate on Krishna transcend both positions and became purified and thus elevated to the status of the gopis already expanded by his pleasure potency. There's six characteristics of bhakti, and the first one was kleshagni, right? There's four in between: kleshagni, shubhada, Sudurlaba Sandarananda Visheshatma Moksha Lagutakrit and Shri Krishna Akarshini. I'd like to go through it all, but the time is kind of finished. But at least the last one is Krishna Akarshini. And Krishna Akarshini means that you can attract the all-attractive. You can attract Krishna. And this is not possible for a jiva. How can you attract Krishna? You're so insignificant. You're just a tiny speck of dust. And he's a huge, wonderful fire. And let me read this one more time. Maybe you can understand what Prabhupada is saying. The gopis who began to meditate on Krishna transcend both positions of material piety and material impiety and become purified and thus elevated to the status of the gopis already expanded by his pleasure potency. Which means you become non-different to Radharani in the sense that you are her instrument and your devotion to her, to Krishna, is her devotion to Krishna. Because only Radharani can attract Krishna. No one else can attract Krishna. So you can attract Krishna if you have access to Radharani. And for us, that means access to our Guru Parampara, our Gurus, you know, our spiritual masters, they're representatives of Radharani. Prabhupada is a representative of Radharani. You serve in this temple, your kirtan, your japa, your dressing of the deities, your distribution of books, whatever you do, this is Radharani's service. And this service will attract Krishna, without a doubt. Especially if you do it under the auspiciousness of our acharya. Okay, this last paragraph and then it's done. All the gopis who concentrated their minds on Krishna in the spirit of paramour love became fully purified of all the fruitive reactions of material nature, and some of them immediately gave up their material bodies developed under the three modes of material nature. So this fire of Purvarag is such a wonderful fire. We don't have to finish the fire. We have to finish the material fire and start another fire. You start this fire of Purvarag and it will completely destroy your material body and you go back to where you have to really be. Okay, I'll stop here. I don't think there's any time for questions. Oh, there is? One, two, three. Okay, if there's some questions. Hare Krishna. Oh, Mike.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much. As I understood, I could be wrong also. My last conclusion is that we should not stop at the, like, just mitigating our this fire of sansana. We should travel from that. In the process, you told us that we should hear about Krishna's, that to say, read our pastime or our understanding of the Gopi now. And the conclusion we got that the process is surrendering to Guru and Krishna. So, my question is like, should we try to understand this Gopi that Prabhupada has given us the process, or should we try to go some things somewhere else or something like try to hear from somewhere else?
No. Everything is in this book. Right here. You know, Prabhupada is not using the Sanskrit terms. He's speaking about Purvarag here. But he's speaking in English. So people think, oh, he hasn't given everything. You know, he won't say Raga Nuga Sadhana Bhakti. What he'll say is devotional practice, spontaneous devotional practice. But this means Raga Nuga Sadhana Bhakti. You need some eyes, you need some brains to catch everything. Those who leave because they think it's not there with Prabhupada are very silly. They haven't, and you know, you get the adhikar by serving him. Seva adhikara diye koro nija dasi. This can mean two things. This can mean that give me the adhikar to do seva, or it can mean by my service I will get the adhikar to become your dasi. You know? So by doing service to Prabhupada, Prabhupada reveals himself. He reveals that everything is given. If you've read Chaitanya Charitamrita, then it's so clear that everything is there. Even the Sanskrit terms he's put in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Everything is there. You do not have to go anywhere. Maybe you can use help from other devotees that can show you that Prabhupada has given it everything, because sometimes you can't see by yourself. But he's the Acharya. Jai.
Prabhuji, I never heard anywhere that Amataji's arms were chopped off in Mayapur.
Really?
Did you ever hear that? I never heard anywhere that Amataji's arms were chopped off by the dacoits in Mayapur, and the Prabhupada said that whether she wants to go back to Godhead or not, she will. Where did you hear that story?
This I heard from Atma Tattva Prabhu. I heard this from him. It could be, I mean, I just assumed that. Okay, I'm sorry. Please forgive me for saying that. I wasn't aware.
One devotee's hand was chopped off in Nairobi, Malavira, but I never heard that a woman's arms were chopped off. So you have to ask Atmatattva where he saw that or heard that.
Okay, sure. I'll do some research.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for a very nice lecture. I want to ask you, you told that there is in the spiritual world, there is no place for laziness.
Yeah.
But we know from some leelas of Krishna with Gopas, that sometimes Madhu Manga, he manifests this laziness. So what kind of laziness?
Actually, you know, it's nice that you said this, because I was wrong. I said something wrong. In Jaiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes these 32 Sanchari Bhavs, and it's very nice that you said this, because you actually pointed out a mistake. Laziness and ferocity, because ferocity is also there. When the coward boys play, they'll get fierce and they'll start punching each other, you know? Laziness and ferocities are two Sanchari Bhavs that are missing in Madhurya Ras. So, yes. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. Jai, okay. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitaya Gaur Premanand.